from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. We begin in Oakland, where teachers have voted to authorize a strike if they can't reach a deal with the district. Not only was the vote overwhelmingly in favor, there was record turnout. And these teachers have been working without a contract now for a year and a half. KQED's Julia McAvoy starts us off this morning.
Taking strength from results in Los Angeles, where a six-day strike ended in victory for the union, Oakland Education Association President Keith Brown made it clear what the district is up against.
Without a very serious proposal by the school board that addresses smaller class size, more student support, a living wage, and keeping our neighborhood schools open, we expect to be on strike by the end of the month.
Teachers are asking for a 12% raise over 3 years. The Oakland district has offered 5%. Now let's go to Alex Hall in the Central Valley, where a couple of teachers' unions are considering strike votes there.
Thanks, Julia. The strike in LA made the Central Unified Teachers Association in West Fresno County realize they weren't the only ones struggling to cope with low wages and packed classrooms. Now, teachers there are also preparing to strike. Union President Judy Martinez says teachers can't do their jobs adequately with so many students in the classroom.
It really impacts our teachers, and the fact of the matter is that we are losing them.
Teachers in Madera, 15 miles north, are also at an impasse. Union President David Holder says that as teachers leave, inexperienced teachers are taking their places. Madera Unified Superintendent agrees the district needs to retain faculty, but disagrees with the union's idea for how to solve the problem. A spokesperson for the superintendent of Central Unified said the district is optimistic it can come to an agreement with teachers. They'll meet again in mid-February. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
Let's move on now to our ongoing coverage of the campfire's aftermath in Butte County. Officials there are reversing course on a previous decision to let people live in tents or RVs on properties, their own, still covered in debris from their burned-down homes. They're telling people to vacate, and it's not for the reason you might expect. KQED's Sonia Hudson reports.
Both the Town of Paradise and the Butte County Board of Supervisors repealed their ordinances on Monday, but it wasn't because of health concerns over the potentially toxic debris. It's because officials say FEMA told them they could lose funding for debris removal. The reason is a little bureaucratic. FEMA can pay for private debris removal if there's a declared public health emergency, which there is in Butte County. But allowing people to live on those burned properties calls that declaration into question. Paradise Mayor Jody Jones says they need the agency to help clean up the town, which looks like a war zone.
And if they don't, it's probably going to be a war zone for 20 years. We have no money to clean it ourselves. We just didn't have any choice.
Michael Jenkins is living in an RV on his mother-in-law's property in Paradise. Right now, he doesn't have anywhere to legally park his RV.
That's the scariest part, is I don't want to be in trouble and be hated because I have nothing else really option available to me.
FEMA declined to comment. For the California Report, I'm Sonia Hudson.
All right. Well, whether you realize it or not, the way that we Californians speak English is changing. And don't take it from me. Take it from Saturday Night Live.
I'm just putting some California dips in these small bowls for our wedding guests.
Great. I'm going to go change the filter on the lagoon-style pool.
This conversation was bound to happen eventually here on the California Report. And joining me to have it is KQED's Chloe Veltman, who has been exploring this topic. She's here in the studio with me. Hey, Chloe.
Hi, Lily.
Let's start with, is there actually a California accent?
No, there isn't, because there are at least more than 200 languages spoken in this state, many, many different ways of speaking, even English. Interestingly enough, I spoke with this linguist, Teresa Pratt, who's co-authored this fascinating study a couple years ago about how media representations of California speech in English and real-life California speech feed off each other. Let's hear what Teresa Pratt had to say about the way these actors speak.
What we actually found was that Kristen Wiig and Fred Armisen are, in this kind of very exaggerated mocking performance, are producing vowels that are actually quite similar to what Californians are doing, what young Californians are shifting towards.
Ah, so SNL got it right.
And Teresa says it's hard to know what came first, the media's idea of how Californians speak or actual Californian speech.
Well, speaking of actual Californians, though, that linguist you spoke to shared an example from a self-described scooter devotee named Chad Kroger. Here he was at a West Hollywood City Council meeting not too long ago.
I stand before you here today because word has spread that you guys are considering giving Bird scooters the heave-ho.
Heave-ho.
Yeah, I mean, check out the way he says heave. It's not heave-ho, right. It's heave-ho. So Teresa Pratt has studied these California speech patterns for years, and she says that Chad Kroger is doing this thing called boat fronting, where you take the vowel in boat and it's produced with the tongue really far forwards. And you can hear that in particular in heave-ho in the clip we just heard. Younger people in particular across the state are saying their vowels in this way, like dras instead of dress and sock instead of sack. And it's part of this thing that linguists are calling the Great California Vowel Shift.
Why is this happening, Chloe?
Teresa says it's hard to pinpoint exactly why, because languages and speech are always changing. In this case, however, she says it's likely the result of several factors: population growth, the mass influx of immigrants into the state in recent decades, and young people's changing sense of identity, their motion to sort of sound Californian, shaped by the movie industry in Los Angeles and Silicon Valley tech.
But there is a political layer to this conversation, right?
Yeah, because normally when people ask the question, is there a California accent or a San Francisco accent or a Los Angeles accent, what they're really talking about is A, English, and B, for the most part, you know, white or Anglo culture. Mm-hmm. And normally when people ask this, it's about what's more visible, who's in power, you know.
Well, you can find out more about this topic by listening to KQED's Bay Curious podcast. Can I have your accent, Chloe?
Can you have it?
Yeah.
Why do you want my accent?
We can work on it together later. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure, Lily. Thanks for having me.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com, Block Construction. Together, building greatness. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report. I'm Lily Jamali.